Devin Almonte here. Welcome. This is Insight Out, where we learn to look at our faith from God's eyes and figure out how to live that out in our everyday. All right. On New Year's Day, this was this year, 2025, a young man named Kyler Effinger, 30 years old, made a desperate dash through the airport, Salt Lake City Airport, and it ended, unfortunately, in a tragedy that no one was able to stop. Now, I know New Year's probably feels like ages ago. Most resolutions have long since ended, if we even remember what they are. I don't even bother making them. But I'm sure New Year's is still fresh in the memory for the Effinger family, because that's the day they lost their son. So that's what we'll talk about today, a little bit about his story, and ask what happened and why we so often walk past people who are in crisis. And then later, I've got three steps that I think will really help us counteract that, what we can actually do about that, do something different. So it's New Year's Day. Kyler is at the Salt Lake City airport. We know that airport quite well. We got stuck there once overnight. We had to sleep in the terminal. It's a very nice airport. Kyler's there trying to catch a flight to Denver to visit his grandfather who's dying, who's terminal. We all dread the TSA grind. You got to take your shoes off and take your technology out, and you got to ditch your water bottle. And it's stressful no matter what you do. Now imagine doing that while you have bipolar disorder. Yes, people with bipolar disorder do fly regularly. And if you're not aware what bipolar disorder is, it's basically, to recap it here from a non-medical standpoint, I would describe it as a mood condition that can really send somebody on this emotional roller coaster. There are different types, but the one that people really know is you shift between these super highs, mania, hypomania, where you're energetic and you're impulsive. And then you've got these really deep, dark lows, just these depressive episodes. Kyler was diagnosed with that 10 years ago. And now he's at the airport, just had a wonderful Christmas with his family. He was living out in Utah, loves to ski. He's got dreadlocks down to his waist. He's got a medical cannabis card with him, I believe, at the airport. And it was reported that his father said that it appears that TSA, he got profiled perhaps, or something when he was going through security that could have possibly, maybe that delayed him getting to his flight. Maybe it added to his stress. Maybe that kicked his mania that was already happening into high gear. The fact that his grandfather was dying, all those moving parts. Here's a little clip of what was happening at the airport.
This morning, those chilling moments, authorities say a man breached security at Salt Lake City International Airport, running right onto the tarmac and into a plane's engine, later dying.
They are on the taxiway, found his clothes.
In this dramatic surveillance video obtained by Salt Lake City Fox affiliate KSTU from New Year's Day, 30-year-old Kyler Effinger is seen trying to open the door at an empty gate. Effinger's father telling ABC News his son, who has suffered from mental health issues, was heading to Colorado, but got held up going through security, causing him to miss his flight.
Just so sad that that could happen. And there's at one point in the video that was from ABC News. Kyler, I mean, he's sitting by the moving walkway. You know those things? What are they called? The auto walk or something? He's there. He's got his shoes off. He's leaning against the side of the wall of the moving walkway until he gets to that point where he's just sprinting through the airport, runs to the gate or a gate and forces open the door, runs out onto the tarmac and into the engine of the plane. It looks like the airport tried to do what they could. They warned the pilot. There was just not enough time. The turbine was already spinning. And just like that, New Year's Day, as he's off to see his dying grandfather, he's gone. Tragic. I just can't imagine. It's easy to cast this as just yet another bizarre airport story. They're happening all the time now. Okay, hippie dude, high on something, acting totally insane. Maybe it doesn't appear that way. And that's somebody's son who was also struggling with his bipolar. I watched a good portion of the airport footage, and what was really hard to watch was just seeing that no one really stepped in to help him. I mean, he's sitting there by that moving walkway, no shoes on, grown adult, and people are just walking right on by. Have we stopped caring about people that we don't know? I get it. bipolar. His parents should have known better and let him fly alone. Maybe, maybe not. I've had plenty of unexpected things happen that you just can't predict. The medical cannabis, I mean, maybe that's not the best idea. Who knows? Sometimes these things aren't as helpful as they're claiming they're to be. Could that have made things worse? And every time we step outside, we know it's a crazy world. And the last thing that I want to do as a woman is be on my own, check on someone that is in a corner rocking themselves for comfort. I don't feel safe doing that. And so that is the part that is really uncomfortable. Would I have just walked past him too? And even stepped over him if he was in my way? The security video shows there were probably dozens of opportunities for people to do something. Business travelers, you know, kind of glancing, wondering what's going on. There's the airline crew. They're half-heartedly going, this doesn't seem right. All of that is happening. But what is not happening is somebody coming over to Kyler and just saying, hey, are you okay? Why do we walk past? Especially as believers, when I think we're called to help those in need. There's actually something psychological that happens. They call it the bystander effect. And this is, we might be somewhere, the more witnesses we see that are present, the less any single person feels responsible to do something. We just say, somebody else will handle it. Somebody will take care of it. And so as a result, guess what happens? No one handles it. I do this all the time at home. If our power goes out at home, oh, I don't need to call. My neighbors are calling it in. Are they? I don't know. So in a crowded space like an airport, this effect just multiplies. We assume somebody more qualified, more responsible, an employee, somebody more connected to the situation will step in. And while we're all assuming, nothing is actually being done. Then there's the whole mental health side of this. This is probably one of the main reasons we walk past today. I get it. Erratic behavior looks scary. I don't want to be punched. I don't want to become a target or have a situation escalate. Even though Kyler was nonviolent, very loving, people probably saw somebody that looked unstable and they chose to keep themselves at a distance. I remember this when I had was on a plane. I was actually on the plane this time. And there was this woman on the plane freaking out. I think she was probably in her 50s, just hysterical tears, mumbling to herself a bit. And I can see everybody. Everybody's kind of putting their bags away. A lot of people are seated and got their head down. They're looking at their phones, pretending not to be aware, even though it's obvious that they're aware. And I did say something and I just said something like, are you going to be okay? Can I help you in any way? That was it. And then she told me that she thinks she left her carry-on somewhere in the airport. She couldn't get off the plane and just all the stress from that and just a really overwhelming emotional reaction to the situation. And I think that engagement does help. It kind of breaks that person from going into that kind of place that isn't total reality. And she did calm down a little. She was still kind of hysterical, but she was managing. But it's really hard to go there. I was nervous. Am I going to be the one to say something? Why isn't anybody else saying something? And is she a total loon? Is she going to do something to me? But I don't know. Sometimes maybe we take those chances. I don't know. So we got that. We got the bystander effect. We got the mental health component. And then I also think the pace of our world today, we are racing through life so fast that human connection outside the connections that we have, just it almost becomes an inconvenience. We've optimized our world in such a way that we can only manage so much and we don't have room for extra empathy. We don't have room for anything else that's external. So, and that comes at a cost because then people like Kyler fall through the cracks. Let me be clear on all of this. We are just talking here. I don't have an answer to this. I think it's a really good thing for us to look at more deeply. I really don't know with certainty what would I do in that moment if I saw Kyler at the airport acting the way he was. I do know what scripture says. Matthew 25, verse 40. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. And that really hits me because when we engage with somebody that's having a hard time, they're in crisis or distressed or overlooked. Jesus, the way I see it, Jesus, he considers that so personal. You did this for me. It's not just charity. It's not just a do-good moment. It's an encounter that we are having and that we get to experience that through the power of the Spirit that is working in us. And that's really moving. And I just think that we are called to be that. Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? It's the man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's completely ambushed. He's beaten, robbed, and left for dead on the side of the road. And then you've got a priest that comes along, sees him, hesitates, kind of like, oh, I don't know what's going on there. You know, he's on the other side of the road. You know, this is like too much. Don't want to get involved. And that's a priest. And then you've got a Levite comes along, does the same thing. Finally, a Samaritan of all people who is really supposed to be the one least likely to show compassion is the one that stops and tends to the man's wounds. He loads him on his donkey or animal, takes him to an inn, covers his expenses. And Jesus then says, yes, go and do likewise. That's why we have what are called Good Samaritan laws. They're designed to protect anybody who voluntarily steps in to give aid in a crisis, in an emergency. California, of all states, was actually the first to pass the Good Samaritan law. That was in 1959, borrowing the name straight from the parable of Luke 10, 25 to 37, which is kind of amazing. Now, just because I share these scriptures does not mean that I am good at living them out. Sometimes I do okay. Like this story, years ago, I was on my way to kind of a nice dinner. I was dressed up and I stopped to get gas at a place that had the convenience store. And I'm there, and on the curb in front of the store, I see this woman, and she's super skinny, kind of dirty, disheveled, hunched over. And she happens to kind of look my way and looks up, and I recognize her. And I recognize her as a woman from one of my recovery groups years ago. I've shared before that I'm 25 years sober, getting sober at 19. My first thought was, Oh, great. I want to go to dinner. I don't want to deal with this. I haven't seen this person in a long time. And now I've got this obstacle. And I knew why she was there. She relapsed. And part of me just wanted to say, not my problem. You put yourself in this situation. And part of me also thought how easily God could say that to me and walk away if he wanted to. I get every situation's different. We are not called to help every injured bird that we see. What I think we are called to do is to hear from God. So first I hear from her and she said, can you help me? So she started it. Honestly, I probably would not have helped if she did not ask me, but I do pray. And when she said that, I heard and I stayed. Yes, it turns out she was homeless. She relapsed, she burned bridges, the whole deal. And so I sat there with her. I called around to a number of halfway houses to see if I could get her a bed somewhere. And I finally found one. And now that was it. That was all I did. I did not drive her to the halfway house. Somebody else was coming to get her. I did not follow up with her. I didn't feel called to. I think God was using me to get her a bed that night. That was my role. Sometimes I imagine God just saying, like, what are you doing? I'm not asking you to build the whole house. Just knock on the door. And I share that because I just wonder if somebody could have been that presence for Kyler at the airport, a TSA agent, a frequent flyer that's always there, a teenager that's just live streaming because he doesn't have anything else to do and he's sharing that with his followers. Anyone that can trade 60 seconds of their schedule for a soul, for a life. And again, not to fix, not to even disrupt our plans completely. Even a mom at the airport Starbucks with her kids, which would probably be me who notices, could tell the Starbucks employee, hey, can you call airport security? There's a man without shoes in the terminal and it looks like he needs help. That's it. What do we think it would have looked like if someone had noticed? So that brings me to the three steps. If we want to be better at this, it's really about noticing, engaging, and trusting. Notice is the most foundational because without noticing, we're not going to get to engaging or trusting. Jesus was a master noticer, especially when it came to people. There's Zacchaeus, the tax collector in Luke 19. He's kind of a scammy guy, not liked by his community. And as Jesus is passing through Jericho, surrounded by the crowds, he notices Zacchaeus in a tree. Okay, Jesus has a very busy day. He's got a full schedule, but he stopped. Hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm staying at your house today. I want us to really picture that because when I visualize that scene, I'm picturing that's like us and we're at a packed concert stadium, thousands of people, and Jesus looks up, notices us over in the nosebleed section and says, hey, I see you. Guess what? I'm coming over. Get down here. me, like you're noticing me, you want me to come down? That's the kind of noticer I want to be. It means we're lifting our eyes up from our phones. We're taking our earbuds out, glancing up from our book, our calendar. And yes, we're noticing who, what, when, where, why, and how that's happening around us. And sadly, it's countercultural in our self-obsessed world and a world that is more about productivity than it is people. And once we notice, then we figure out how to engage. We can pray and ask, Lord, what are you asking me to do here? Sometimes it's small. Other times it might be more of an investment in the relationship, whatever God puts before us. We might feel inadequate for that, but God's not. It means just being available for those God-sized assignments. And then finally, we trust God to do that work. And this step is hard because we like to be in control and we think we have to make the change happen to fix or rescue people. But that's not our job. In my Facebook group, Insight Out Community, we're going to talk more about what it looks like to live this out in our everyday, how we can walk this out, because there is someone that God is and will put in our path, someone he needs us to notice, to engage with, while we trust God with the rest. If Kyler's story meant something to you and it's just hitting you in a certain way, let's keep talking. Head on over to insightout.media on Facebook. From there, you can then search for my Insight Out community under the groups tab. This is a private Facebook group where we talk about these things that we're talking about here on the podcast. And just things going on in our life that we want to share, things that we want to do better, how to take action in our faith. So come share a moment that you were a noticer or a moment that you wish you had. And there's no shame. We're learning together. And if someone in your world needs a nudge, maybe as a way to tell them you notice them, or maybe someone that wants to know how we can truly live out the gospel and live out Matthew 25:40, reminds us of Jesus's words, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Go ahead and share this episode. Who knows? It's that small act of kindness that might plant a seed to save a future Kyler. Now, I have not spoken to the Effinger family personally about their son, but I do want to share their foundation with you. I'm sure that would mean a lot. I feel I owe that to them. It's called Love Like Kai. I'll leave that information for you in the show notes. Please like and subscribe so you get all the episodes. All of that helps get the word out, and I love having you here following along. And until next time, let's choose wisely and live our lives in sight out.